Say with me, ambassadorship. Say, I am an ambassador. I can't wait for our new building because we will have much better sound and we'll have place to walk up and down and I'll be able to preach. Now I have to stand still like this, you know, so. And we're looking into having our launch. Let me just say this. That is if we can get finished, but we should, we must get finished by the 26th of March, which means it's literally two Sundays and then we are there. Okay? So, and we're going to make it a big launch. Please invite your family, your friends. We're going to make it big. We operate in a submarine anointing. Many times people think nothing is happening. Where are they? They've gone silent, you know. And then just all of a sudden they see you popping up and coming up with something brand new. And that's what they will see. So, and we will move in there. So that's going to be good. But say with me, ambassador. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 20. It says, now then, we are, say with me, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, but you reconciled to God. So, but he says, Paul is saying, he says, listen here, we are ambassadors to God, to Christ, of Christ. Are you guys with me? We are ambassadors for Christ, which means that an ambassador, and I know I've taught this before, but I'm going to go from this into angels. So I want you to stay with me, because this morning I'm going to just preach a little bit, a word of encouragement, but tonight we're going to go into the working of angels, and that will be our last session. What I mean by the working of angels, I'll speak to you about Hazan, I'll speak to you about Mara. The difference is about that when angels manifested in the Bible. What is the difference? Some people might see an angel, but others don't see it. Why? How does it work in the Greek? Others might, one person might see an angel, others hear a sound, or others hear or see a light, and they fall to the ground. When they have that type of an encounter, it's called a Mara. So with him, Mara. And that depends on how we grow with God. We don't start off with a Mara, we start off with a Hazan. And then as we grow in dimensions with God and we grow deeper, we get to a place where we come, where we have a Mara. Once you have a Mara, that means everybody around you is affected. If you're sitting in your house and you're having a vision or an angel comes to you, when you open up your eyes, everybody around you will be on the floor. Or they'll be asking, what just happened? They'll sense, feel, hear something. A Hazan vision, you can walk through. You see an angel, you can walk through. A Mara, you walk and you bump into an angel. That's the difference. That's the spiritual becoming physical, manifesting in the physical. But there are principles on how to do it. I don't know how many of you have ever worshipped, even if it was here in the church, and you felt like somebody bumped you and you looked and there's nothing. Or you're in your private room and you begin to pray and you worship and you feel like something just walked past you. You could feel it and you look and there's nothing and you're alone in the room. It's angels. Are you guys with me? You have angels around you. It's so easy for us to say demons this, demons that, demons this. And you know what? I can preach on angels and they'll say, I worship angels. Let me preach on demons. They won't say, I worship demons. They'll say, oh, he's godly. Amen? So we're so demon-orientated that angels don't even want to be around you. Remember, angels have a self-will. The demons want to be around us more than angels because we never think of the angels. We never talk of angels. We never express our gratitude. We never even think of them. Listen, just the mere thinking and knowing that angels are around me. Just the knowing that I'm in the presence of angels right now. That fact, if I begin to do that, you'll see. I'm going to share with you tonight. And I'll share with you Hazan and Mara and going from there to, and the working of angels and how it works. And then when you begin to do that for a few months and you just on mindset, you focus your mind on that and not on demons, you'll have angels appearing to you. Because it is by their decision. But we think of demons, that's why demons keeps appearing to us. Because all we do, what we think, we attract. I'm going to say it again, what we think, we attract. If I can think of the Holy Spirit and attract Him, if I can think of the presence of God and attract Him, the same for angels. When we are not good ambassadors, that is when we come on this earth and we represent Him in a way that is not how heaven wants us to be represented. Are you guys with me? So when I do not prosper, I do not represent Him in a good way. Because God, the heavens are full of jewels, is full of stones and gold and silver, especially gold. The streets are made of gold. When the kings would, especially kings, when they would come, they would carry amounts of gold. But it's a represent. I'm not saying that you must walk around with amounts of money. No. I'm saying that if somebody comes to me, and you know, sometimes as believers, we are, say with me, ambassadors, which means you represent a kingdom that is higher than this world. But we live lower than this world. We decide for ourselves to live lower than this world. But we are to represent a kingdom that's higher than this world. Which means that it's the way I walk, the way I talk, the way I respond, the way I deal, the way I don't react to certain things, the way I deal with certain things, the way breakthrough is coming to me, the way prosperity and promotion is coming to me, the way I can talk to people and change their lives. I am revealing and representing the kingdom of heaven on a healthy basis. Are you guys with me? Now, we're going to get into the angelic thing just now. So the ambassadorship. Now, when you have ambassadorship, you have a legal term called persona non grata, which means that when somebody is coming onto your house or onto your piece of land or wherever you are as an ambassador or a diplomat, especially as an ambassador, they are removed immediately by security personnel. They are not welcome there. So the persona non grata. Say it again. Say persona non grata. Listen to me. When you realize and have a revelation, when you have a realization that you are an ambassador of Christ Jesus, when you have a realization that you are an ambassador, that means when the enemy decides to come close to you, when the enemy decides to touch you, when the enemy decides to walk upon your ground, come into your house, there's a law that kicks in that is called persona non grata, which means that you have armies in heaven that is backing you up and removes them from that. Say persona non grata. Say, I persona non grata. The devil, the enemy, sickness, poverty, curses, everything against me, I receive it in Jesus' name. Listen here. Persona non grata. When the devil touches you, you must know you are not allowed. You are in big trouble. But we have to, you can have your seats. We have to represent the kingdom. We have to be a worthy representation of the kingdom of heaven. Are you guys with me? When Jesus was preaching on the streets, the diary and the journal of Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate had a journal and he sent spies out behind Jesus to go see what he was doing. They say in the one instance, he would love a prostitute and talk to a prostitute as if he was a best friend. And then in the turn of that, he would turn around and get onto a rock and start preaching, that his face would turn to flint. That was the words. And he would preach with such terror that the journalist was afraid to go to him and ask him questions. They were afraid because he knew his ambassadorship from heaven. When you know your identity, say with your identity. When you know your identity, listen to me. People will be afraid to get close to you because you will reflect God wherever you are at. But we must understand that as he is, so are we in this world. Persona non grata. I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, of heaven. This world submits to the kingdom of heaven. How can anything touch me? I don't think you believe it or you understand it. You must receive your identity. When you receive your identity, Alistair, when I got saved, I would go to the nightclubs and I would try to drink. I just got saved for like a few weeks and I'd go and drink and all my friends was there. And every time I drank, I felt uncomfortable because the Holy Ghost was inside of me. Someone new came inside of me and began to talk to me. I then left the nightclub. I went home and the relationship began to build. All of a sudden, my worldly friends would begin to hate me. Why? Because every time I would step into their presence, I would represent another kingdom. A light from another kingdom would begin to shine out of me. When I'd be spending time with him, I'd be feeling uncomfortable because I feel like I have two friends. I have two people on the inside of me, a good man and a bad man. But, and then they would begin to say, Leon, you're judging us. Leon, you're this. Leon, you're that. No. Or you just don't understand that you're not welcome in my presence. It's persona non grata. The kingdom of heaven has taken over this area here. Say ambassador. Say, I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. I declare and I decree that at ECC is persona non grata. Whatever is not of the kingdom of heaven is not allowed in this place. If you come in here with sickness, if you come in here with poverty, if you come in here with curses, receive the revelation tonight that and this morning that angels are in this place. And then there are other laws. As you know, there's diplomatic immunity, which means that the laws of this world does not apply to you. There's a declaration of war, that if the enemy touches you as an ambassador or diplomat, the armies of the other country rises up and gets and begins to call a declaration of war. Now we're speaking not even of nations, we're speaking of kingdoms. The Bible says in Hebrews, I spoke the anointing to subdue, that by their faith they subdued kingdoms. By their faith, they subdued kingdoms. By their faith, they shut the mouths of lions. There is a faith from another world, another kingdom, a world that is beyond this world. There is a faith that you can... There is a faith that you and I can carry that comes from a world beyond this world. You will see the building we'll stand in. When I'm standing on top of there, and you will be standing there, and some of you will be standing on top of there. But when I'm standing there, I'll tell you, I saw this a year ago. In another world that was beyond me. I saw it. I saw the bars in the roof. I saw the stage like this with the people around us. Because I have to see that. The question is, what do you see and how do you say with me, identity? You can have your seats. Listen, many people don't understand. They don't understand identity, hence they can't have ambassadorship. Because they don't know they have it. How can they exercise it if they don't know they have it? And tonight is going to be very good. Tonight we're going to get into the workings of angels, and there'll be manifestation, demonstration. As it is written, Jacob, say with me, Jacob. Say this with me, say, follow with me. Say, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. Say it again, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. Here you will get meat and not milk. Okay? So, Jacob I have loved, and Esau I have hated. Listen, the father, Isaac, loved Esau and hated Jacob. But God loved Jacob and hated Esau. It's not dropping yet. You understand just now. You see, you must understand that when that Isaac hated Jacob and loved Esau, but God, say with him, but God, foreordained Jacob to be loved, to love Jacob, but he hated Esau. When man hates you, it's just a sign that God loves you. When man rejects you, when man comes against you, you better know that God loved you and foreordained you before you don't look like you're enjoying it, before the foundation of the world. Listen, I am so happy that the only thing, I'm not working for man's approval, I'm working for God's approval. God loved me. Jacob's name meant deceiver. The man was born, listen to this, the man was born a deceiver, but God loved him. He had to fight every bit of his life. He had to steal a blessing. Listen to this. Esau was so ugly, but the father loved him. Esau was ugly, but the father loved him. But Jacob God loved. Why do I say Esau was ugly? Because Jacob had to put an animal skin on him before the father believed that it was Esau. How ugly must you be? Huh? That's how I read my Bible, okay? That the father had to touch an animal skin and say, okay, wait, this is my son. That's ugly. That's a freak. Jacob fought for the blessing. He lied to get a blessing. He got the blessing. And even after he got the blessing, he still fought. Even after you come to church, we lay hands on you, you're still fighting. You feel like nothing is going to happen. They had to fight and fight. Jacob had to fight his whole life. Yet God loved him. Something was wrong. I don't know if you guys, that's what I'm getting at. You think I'm going one point, I'm going to another point, okay? Something was wrong because God loved this person, but nothing went right for him. Then he had to marry, then he worked 7 years to marry Rachel, and they gave him Leah. Leah that was so ugly. Leah was so ugly, he worked 7 years for this woman. He got tricked and deceived into this. Okay. I'm going to get to a point because many of you can relate to this, because you have worked for years for something only to get what you did not expect. You have worked years for something and they would promise you, you're going to get this, you're going to get this, and you are working and you are working and you get something ugly. That's totally opposite than what they are promising, that they promised you. That mistake will be corrected because God loves you. This story of Jacob is not right in the Bible. Listen, if there's something that's wrong, it's Jacob in the Bible. I'm going to be honest with you. When I read the story, it doesn't make sense to me because the Bible says that God foreordained that he loved him, but he went through hell. Say with me, enough is enough. Say it again, say enough is enough. Jacob said enough is enough. Listen, he was working. And then after that, he was working a few more years and they gave him Rachel. After he got Rachel, she was beautiful, but she gave him no children. And then she was starting to worship other gods. Irene is here and I think we prayed for, when did we pray for you? December or January? January.
Right in the beginning of January.
Okay. Okay, I thought it was after, before that. Anyway, she had stage 4 cancer.
Yes.
Okay. And death was all over her. They said death was going to take her. The family was getting prepared. The daughter thought it. It was just the husband fought. Chris fought. We prayed. And you can say what happened when we prayed for you or what?
After Pastor prayed for me, my energy, because before that, it was like something was just taking my energy. I slept in the day, in the night, I did nothing. So when Pastor prayed for me, he actually rebuked the spirit of death. And for me, that was a shock. I didn't realize about the spirit of death, but I knew, because I kept on saying to Chris, yes, Chris, this is what it's like dying. And then after Pastor prayed for me, I felt fine, I did nothing wrong. But then I wanted to get to the doctor and find what is going on. And then I went to the doctor and they gave me a report and said I'm in total remission. Yes! Yes!
And there's like, the cancer was stage 4 cancer. Now there's a few nodules left on her lungs and that's not even active.
Yeah,
it's just like 5 millimeters just left.
They're not
there.
Active, they're just there, they're not active. There's no active cell in my body that
you're... Come on, let's give Jesus a praise offering. That is results. That God lives and is alive at ECC.
Not of my problem.
And that's the second person, by the way, of cancer, okay?
Yes.
That's the second person, by the way. Jacob was fighting for a blessing all his life because of one reason. He did not know who he was. When God asked him, when the angel asked him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. He says, no. There's a different name recorded in heaven. You see yourself as a deceiver, yet you are a prince of God in heaven. Yet you are a firstborn in heaven. You see yourself as sick, yet you are healed in heaven. You see yourself as having poverty, yet you have prospering in heaven. You see yourself as nobody on here, yet in heaven you have rank and status and file. Listen, you have a different name in heaven. Jacob's name was changed. Peter's name was changed. Paul's name was changed. Abram's name was changed. It's time to get your name and your identity from heaven. Because when you understand your identity, you understand your ambassadorship. That wherever you put your foot to the ground, it is yours. Say with me, take over. Wherever you put your foot to the ground, your soles of your foot to the ground, I shall give it to you. It is takeover time. Listen, have your seats. So I'm going with a Jacob thing just a little bit. That's why he was struggling. He had no identity. Are you guys with me? Listen, he marries this woman. Now he marries this Rachel, who's beautiful to the eyes, very beautiful, yet she was barren. And on top of it, she started worshiping other gods. This is a man of God. He marries this beautiful wife and she starts going into idolatry. She says, I think Isaac came to him. I'm not going to read through the whole story, but I think Isaac came to him and said, there's other gods, you're serving other gods. And he's like, no. Leah is serving other gods. They go to Leah, they search Leah. Leah was not serving other gods. They get to Rachel. Rachel acts like she's on her period because she was sitting on the gods, on the idols. Come on now. Are you guys with me? And then she bore him one or two sons, I think at the end. I'm just going through the story. And then she died on her way. Many of you feel like your promise have died. Just on your way. It's dead. Something that you've worked for many years. You've worked for 10 years or 15 years for a promotion, for a business, or for your family in a certain way. Something you've put a lot of hard work in it, and then it dies along the way. Jacob's whole life was an error until he had an angelic visitation. Are you guys with me? His whole life was a mistake because the Bible says that God loves him. How can God love him and he goes through this stuff? How can God love you and you go through hell? It just validates the fact that God loves you. My persecution and false accusation as a minister, people that are trying to put us down, speaking evil things of me, and you haven't seen the beginning of it yet. When that happens, it validates me. Because those who are persecuted have a desire to live godly. You will not enter the kingdom of God without afflictions and many persecutions. So we enter into the promise of God. Listen, Jude 1 verse 3 says this. It says, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should say with me earnestly, contend. Say it again, say earnestly, contend. That means you must passionately, desperately, earnestly fight for something. You must contend for it. Say, I must contend. Jacob was contending with the angel, and we'll get into that just now, for his blessing. He said, enough is enough. I will not let you go until you bless me. Now, it says that we must earnestly contend, earnestly fight for something. It says, earnestly contend for the faith. Say with me, the faith, which was once delivered. Say, once delivered unto the saints. Say with me, unto the saints. That means the faith has already been given to some. Now you must fight to get what a person has. So if you see somebody walking by faith, you must fight for what that person has. I say to the people usually, if we're going to a new building, if we're being promoted, you can receive a promotion yourself where you're going. If I get a new car, you can get a new car. And you got a new car. Okay, so. I had to pay for mine, but he got his for free. Okay, so. If you're around me, this will happen. Say contend for the faith. Contend for the faith that is on some. When we're going to move into a new building, we're going to have a certain area. But there's people that I've always looked up to, whether it's Kenneth Hagen, Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlman. And I contend when I pray. Many times I would pray and I would contend. I would fight to have the faith that I have, that they have. I would look at A.A. Allen pulling somebody out of a wheelchair. I have the videos. I would look at A.A. Allen pulling somebody out of a stretcher. And I would say, God, I would contend for that faith until we began to see her broken hips healed instantly. Until I once pulled a woman out of a wheelchair like this, and her hip was broken, and she began to walk in front of 400 people. I contended for that faith. It's time that you fight for the blessing that God has for you. The promise, the miracle, the destiny. Listen, it is not going to happen to those who sit back, lazing back, just waiting for it to happen by mistake. Success does not come by mistake. If you're not born with it, okay. So, let me get back to where we were. So Jacob worked all these years, and then he realizes Rachel. Then she dies. She was worshiping idols. Everything was going wrong for this guy. Are you guys with me? Like I said, some of you have worked and given your life. Some of you are 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. And you have worked and you've worked and you felt like, listen, at this location here, things are going to change. When Jacob was born, this man was so pathetic. Okay? But God loved him. I don't understand that. That God loved him. That means that every person here has hope. There's two theories that when Jacob was born. Two theories. Either, the Bible says he grabbed onto his brother's heel. Either he pulled his brother back because he wanted to be born first. But there's another theory. That he grabbed onto his brother's heel to be pulled out. And he always had to have been given handouts and helped out through life. From the beginning to the end, his mother had to come and build him a meal and say, listen here, you do this, go get your blessing from your father. Your brother's out doing his own thing, but you go do this and go get your blessing. You're working hard, nothing is happening. You're working for 7 years and to get the wrong wife, not your brother. I don't know if you guys understand what I'm saying. Esau was the favorite one in man's sight, but Jacob was the favorite and loved one in God's sight. If you have been given handouts and help outs and it felt like you've always had to be lifted up by others, helped by others, listen to me. Your time has come when you enter into this location. When you enter into this location, I prophesy, I decree, and I declare that this error will be corrected. That when there's an angelic visitation upon your life, that you contend with the faith that is upon others and you say, enough is enough. Every time somebody has to give you a handout, that time is over. Don't receive any handouts. It's not of God, eh? But this man is loved by God. This is what's confusing me. He went through this life stealing, begging, deceiver. He's loved. Do you want to have God's love? Be bad, don't be good. A blessing comes to those who do not do things right. That's why they need a blessing. Why do you need a blessing if you do things right? I know it's freaking some out. It's okay. I'll preach this church small. No, I'm joking. The numbers will grow. But I'm preaching it just small so I can just get a few core. Because otherwise we have all this suspects and hypocrites sitting there. Not you now, but I checked on Sunday night this and I'm like, you are my enemy, you are my enemy, you are my enemy, you are my enemy. What are you doing here in my church? Come take some of this grass here. Yeah, no, just come and take some grass here and go back. Okay. I'm like, what are you doing in my church? You know. Been sitting the whole night. Prophet Angel's here. Not lifting a hand, but from the most Holy Ghost filled church, brother. Not lifting a hand. An antichrist spirit comes against the prophetic. So if you're coming against me now, you must know you are antichrist. John says there are many antichrists in the church today. Not just one, many antichrists in the church. One will come, yes. But there are many antichrists in the church. What is antichrist? Christ is Christos, the anointing, rubbed with oil. Anti the anointing, anti power. When you are anti power, you are antichrist. Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus the anointed, rubbed with oil. Jesus the anointed one. The anointed and his anointing, if you want to go really deep into the Greek. Jesus, the anointed and his anointing, Christ, Christos, to be rubbed with oil, power, anti-power. When something rises up in me, when we lay hands on people in front of you and you're sitting in your chair and like, this doesn't feel right, just know that you're anti-Christ right now. Anti-power. Come on, are you guys with me? So what are we doing? We are sifting people out that are anti-power. That is all. They're either changing or they're leaving. That is it. Go for it to Genesis chapter number 32, verse number 22. Listen, even after Jacob saw a ladder in a dream and he saw this ladder and everything happened, even after that he still struggled. Okay. Until one thing, until he began to contend. Go for Genesis 32, verse number 22, New King James, verse number 22. And he arose that night and he took his two wives. Say with me, he arose. This word prophetically speaks of the everything he has gone through. He made up his mind that night. He arose. When the Bible says that you are awakened, a lot of times it will say, awake you who are asleep. In the book of Ephesians, awake you who are asleep. In the book of Isaiah, awake. When you arose, it's like you're just standing and you're like, enough is enough. That night, and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. Next verse. He took them and sent them over the brook and sent over what he had. Then, say with me, Jacob was left alone. Say, Jacob was left alone. You many times feel alone because you don't know who you are yet. Jacob's biggest problem is he never knew who he was. He lived by the wrong name. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. Next verse. Now when he saw that he did not prevail, listen, that he is a capital he. This was the angel of the Lord wrestling with him, which theologians will tell you it was Christ himself. But it was the angel of the Lord, came as an angel, so we can say it was an angel, okay? But the capital he, now when he, God, Christ, the angel, now when he saw, when God saw, I am not winning this battle. Listen. When God saw, I was not winning this battle. I want to get to a point, and I hope this is going to drop in your spirit. This is not a teaching today. This is a preaching. And I'm just preparing us for tonight. We're going to get into the working of angels, and I'm going to explain to you what things that activates angels, like worship, like heart attitude, like our thoughts, certain things that activates angels. What do I mean by that? I'm not speaking of angelic worship, but I promise you, you all will say, yeah, but I don't need angel. I don't need to do this. This is new age stuff. Wait till somebody comes into your house with a gun. You'll be like, Lord Jesus, I need angels right now. Send your angels, then all of a sudden you become angel. Not angel worship. It's different, okay? I've been in this thing for long. My house was saturated with angels when I pray. I mean, so much so, the one night I was praying, that the angels would walk to my daughter's room and stand by my daughter's room. I thought it was my angel, and I walked out, and the angel kept staying in my daughter's room, and I thought, no. But I thought, it's my angel. Why is he staying in my daughter's room? I've had angelic experiences. I've had experiences that when an angel would come and take me up into the heavens on a 40-day water fast to put me on an altar and show me an experience, that when I walked out of that room, that my wife get hit under the power, that I walk into the church, that as I walk into the church, people get hit under the power of God. Why? Because of a mara. That experience became tangible. Then one night we were worshiping and people said they felt like somebody was standing next to them here, or walking through them here, and I would stand here. There's a reality of angels. There's an angelic visitation that God has for us. And you will see, even as we move into the new building, you will hear the angels worshiping with you. And we will record it. Because it's a reality. Paul speaks of them in the Bible. Peter speaks of them. In fact, the New Testament church knew it so much that they even knew how the angels looked like, because they were worshiping with them all the time. But it requires persecution. Angels come through worship. Angels come through how you think. Angels come through persecution. Are you guys with me? And then angels come through sovereignty. But listen, and they are our ministers, messengers from God, sent forth to minister to those who have inherited salvation. The word minister is to serve. God has sent them as your servant. Go read your Bible. Amen. If one angel can kill 180,000 people in one night. Listen. Now when God saw that this man did not, say with me, did not prevail against him. It's time to contend for the faith. Jacob knew. He said, enough is enough. I am tired of working for 7 years, another a few years, and then this woman also worships idols and dies after she gives birth. Enough is enough. When I've been done in by my father-in-law, enough is enough. When I have to been given handouts even from birth, when my mother has to help me just to get a blessing, enough is enough. Come on, are you guys with me? And until we have that attitude where we say, I am frustrated of my today. Listen, Pharaoh had frogs. One of the plagues that was with him was frogs. And God said to him, listen here, and through Moses, so say to him, listen here, just today the frogs will be taken away from you. And Pharaoh says, no, let's do it tomorrow. He became comfortable with the frogs. And he said, no, let's do it tomorrow. Everybody is like, no, I'll have my deliverance tomorrow. I'll have my freedom tomorrow. God never responds to that attitude. Until we are frustrated with our current situation, deliverance is not available for us. Until I'm frustrated with the house that I live in, with the car that I drive, with the job that I have, with where I am spiritually, with what is happening, until I'm frustrated with that, deliverance will not come. Deliverance is illegal if I'm not frustrated with where I am today. Are you guys with me? Why do I speak about houses and cars and this and that? When you are an ambassador, you want an unbeliever just to walk to you and be like, what the hell? But I just saw you like a few months ago and you were like this. It's called synesis, the way you think. The way you think of yourself. The way it's just like, you just know that you deserve better. You walk into your house and just one day you're like, let's go look for another house. And you just stand up and you walk out. Or you just one day sit and you just, I can't climb into this fort anymore.
I don't see.
It's just like, I said to Stefan, I said, you know, He drives back and forth to my house, back and forth, and he gets tired. I said, you know, I drive back and forth and back and forth to my house, and I climb refreshed out of my car. But there's just a place where everything, your DNA changes. Jacob had to be convinced of this after failure and failure and failure and failure and getting tired and saying, no, you know, I'm sending my wife and everything away, and I'm going to go contend for that which God has for me. I'm going to go and fight for that which God has for me. Until you come to a place of major frustration. If any ambassador that comes here to our country comes with the best, and his country looks after him. I'm going to say it again. His country looks after him. He does not operate in the exchange, money exchange, even of this country. Are you guys with me? When you step onto his yard or area, location, you immediately step into that other country. And if you don't have the ability to stay there, a visa, whatever, on the lawn, on the yard, on the, wherever you, it's persona non grata. They can by force remove you. That when you have a house, you must understand that heaven is there. And if anything steps onto that house, onto that place that you live, it's persona non grata for the devil. It's persona non grata for sickness. It's persona non grata for curses. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he continued wrestling with him. Do you know what I like about Jacob? That after the angel, God, Christ, saw that he was not winning with Jacob, he broke his leg. Okay? Or he put his hip out of socket. I don't know which one is the worst, okay? But he put his hip out of socket. But we do not see one place where Jacob is offended. If a man of God cannot break you, he is not a man of God. He touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of his hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Next verse. And he said, let me go. God said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you. Listen, here he's even coming against God. God is saying, listen, I want you to get in your car and drive there. I will not do it. I refuse. Let me go. I will not let you go until, say with me, until you bless me. Next verse. This was after his hip was out of socket. He took no offense. The angel first had to take his hip out of socket, break his leg, if I may, or something like that, before the blessing came. I will first break you before the blessing comes. That's just for the school of discipleship people, okay? If you don't feel broken in this church within the next year or so, God's process is not at work in you. I'm going to say it again. If you don't feel broken in this church in the next year or so, God's process has not yet begun to you. I will break you, and I will make sure that God breaks you, because God uses broken people. Next verse. Oh, so he said to him, back. So he said to him, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Next verse. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Say Israel. Prince with God. That's what it means. Firstborn. For you have struggled with God. Listen to this. You have struggled. Say with me, I have struggled with God and with man. You have struggled with man for too long. You have struggled with God for too long, but you have prevailed. There's a moment when you just saying enough is enough, and you begin to be prevailed. When you get to the right location at the right time. I told you where the anointing is located. Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men, and have, I know who I am. Say these words. Say, I know who I am. You better know who you are. I'm not arrogant and I'm not full of pride. I just know who I am. That is all. I'm very humble. I'll wash your feet. Next verse. Then you must just, I'm so humble. It's just, you must just look for it very like deeply. And then you'll find it. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. Now listen. The guy makes mistakes all over and over and over and over. He's making the wrong decisions. This got nothing to do with him. And he said, why is it that you ask my name? Which means that you shouldn't be asking this trivial stuff. You're busy with trivial things. You're busy with things that you're not supposed to do. And he blessed him there. Those who are, listen, you have to do some things wrong before you can get blessed. The Bible says that Jesus came for those who are sick, not for those who are healed. Because those who are healed does not need a physician, but those who are sick needs him. If you understand that you are sick and not self-righteous, Jesus has come for you. But if you think that you are holy and self-righteous or no sin, Jesus has not come for you and salvation is not yours. We're taking this thing to another level. Salvation does not belong to you. Jesus said to the hypocrites, you have eyes but you do not hear, you have ears but you do not hear. And he says, and I've spoken in parables so that your sins may not be converted. Are you guys with me? Jesus is saying, I spoke in parables so that you do not understand what I'm saying, so that you cannot give your life to Jesus Christ because of self-righteousness. Huh? So let's not be one of those people. Let's be broken and know I am a mess. I need a savior. A blessing comes because there's not a blessing. A blessing doesn't come because there is a blessing. Okay? And he said, why are you asking me? And he blessed him there. Next verse. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God. Say, seen God. Face to face. And my life is preserved. You need some preservation. Are you guys with me? An angelic encounter caused preservation to come. When angels begins to visit you, which is God, a message from God, preservation comes to your life. When angels visit this place and when angels walk through this place that people can feel it, we have recordings of angels singing. Listen, it means that your life is preserved. I pray that tonight there'll be an encounter in this place that you will not forget. I pray that you'll go from Azon to Mara, where if you will like feel somebody is standing and rubbing, you look and it's like, there's nothing, or you see an angel, or there's nothing, and you don't understand what is happening, but it's because God lives here. I want you to say, God lives here. Next verse. Just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him. Say with me, and he limped. Say it again, say, and he limped. Say, and he limped. Listen, and the Bible says, if they slap you on the cheek, hit you on the cheek, does it say, turn the other cheek? The Bible says, give them your other side. Which means that if they hit you in the natural, you give them the spiritual side coming back. Let there be a crossover to the other side of who you are as an identity. Let there be a crossover to the other side. Let people know, your job, your boss, your employer, wherever you are at, that if they touch you in the physical, in the natural, that you're going to give them the other side. You may limp and have a problem in your hip, but you have contended for your blessing. You have fought for your blessing. You might limp and it might look like you're not doing. Listen, when people look at me, they think, ooh, me. But I have a blessing of God upon my life. And it is time for us to be changed from Jacob into Israel. From the one side to the other side. It's time to cross over. Come on, are you guys with me? Give Jesus a big hand in this place. Zekanavandioskete kelebedebaya. Zekete kelebedebaya. Zekiriye.